You are Locked On MLB, your daily podcast on Major League Baseball, part of the Locked On Podcast Network, your team every day.
Hey everyone, welcome to Locked On MLB, your daily podcast covering Major League Baseball, part of the Locked On Podcast Network. It is May 1st, Tuesday, and we are going to look at the Dodgers and their issues moving forward and whether or not they're going to be able to solve them without Corey Seager. Obviously, the big name is Manny Machado. We'll get into that. We'll get into some other options and whether or not the Dodgers go for it, when they go for it, how big do they go for this season, and then look at some other mistakes. I know I've brought up mistakes that I think they've made in the past in terms of fighting so hard to stay under that luxury tax number, not looking for depth such as a Neil Walker, and maybe not that player in particular because Neil Walker hasn't played well for the Yankees yet, but I brought that up when that happened. So we'll look at the Dodgers, and that'll be our main focus today in segment one. And then segment two, we got odds via Bovada on who is going to be or who could be the MVP, the division winners, and pennant winners. So let's go through those numbers, see what stands out to us and what's changed so far. I can say that if you want to bet the Miami Marlins, you're going to get a good price. But don't do that. So we'll go into some of those later. But first, let's get to segment one. The Los Angeles Dodgers lost Corey Seager for the season thanks to Tommy John surgery. A UCL injury in his throwing arm. He said he felt it on a throw this weekend, got an MRI, and that revealed that he needed to have Tommy John. I guess my first question was going to be the same as everybody else. How soon do they call for Manny Machado? The more I've thought about it, my stance has kind of changed on that, and I don't know that that's something that they're going to do or something that makes as much sense as I initially thought. My second thought was, I wonder how much this injury was aggravated by trying to play through whatever injury he had, because he had elbow problems last year, he's had back problems, and he always wants to play through it, and the Dodgers always want to give him rest, and so there's kind of been a back and forth, it seems, between those two sides. So I don't know what kind of impact that had, but the story is Corey Seager is out for the year, and that's a huge blow to a team that is already struggling, that is behind the best team in the National League, the Arizona Diamondbacks. After 1 month, a team that is suffering through some underperformance elsewhere. They are 12-16, 8 games back of the Diamondbacks. They're behind the Giants and the Rockies in the division, 3 games better than the Padres. And so let's go to Machado. Well, first let's look at a couple different things. One, the window for the Dodgers is obviously open this year, or was coming in, but at the same time, one of my predictions before the year was to take the under on 96.5 wins for the Dodgers, because I thought that there was a lot of regression possible there, regression to the mean when you look at some of those big years, whether it was Cody Bellinger, whether it was Yasiel Puig, Chris Taylor, and we've seen some of that. Chris Taylor hasn't been the same yet. Yasiel Puig hasn't been the same that he was last year. Now he's on the DL. They don't have the same starting pitching depth that they had last year. Their bullpen is, you know, missing Brandon Morrow. That was a big piece, and so he's not easy to replace, and their bullpen has been bad. Kenley Jansen hasn't been the same. So I'm not surprised at their slow start, but they're still a championship-caliber team, or they were coming in to the year on paper. So what the Dodgers have to decide now is, when you look at this year and when you look at the next couple of years, is it worth it to go all in for a rental player like Manny Machado? And that's a loaded question on a couple fronts, because you have the luxury tax. They can't afford to pay I should stop saying that. They don't have the room under the luxury tax to pay Manny Machado what he's owed without going over. They can afford it. They can afford anybody they want. They have that kind of money. But in terms of luxury tax, they don't have the room to stay underneath that, and that's what their whole offseason was about, and that's going to receive a lot of criticism now because they didn't go add anything, and they let some pieces walk in an effort to stay below that number. When you're a team like the Dodgers and you have as much money as they do, and you're in a market like Los Angeles, you have the best pitcher in baseball, you have a championship window, they're open to criticism now for doing that. But at the same time, I don't know that you throw all your eggs into the Manny Machado basket, because what is that going to necessarily change for this year? Are you better off saving some of those prospects and using them elsewhere, using them for controllable players? Do you look at a bigger deal? I think John Bernhardt said on Twitter that, you know, a Machado and Zach Britton mega deal is something that sounds interesting. Machado on a rental to the Dodgers, I don't know how much that changes for the Dodgers this year. When you already looked at their 8 games back, you look at the underperformance that they have, whether, you know, in their outfield, and that's not just Chris Taylor, but we said Puig, Jock Peterson, you know, they have Matt Kemp out there. What is he going to look like for a full season? Kike Hernandez. So they need help in the outfield, depending on what Alex Verdugo turns into this year and provides. They need help in the bullpen. They might need help in the starting rotation later. So shortstop, is that the biggest need? And if it is Machado worth the price to go in at this point? Looking down further down the line, I don't know that you can kind of punt this season if it's not going well and move some pieces, because even, you know, Logan Forsythe will be a free agent, Grandal will be a free agent, Kershaw will opt out and most likely, but their championship window goes beyond it. I mean, they have Bellinger, Austin Barnes, Corey Seager next year, Justin Turner, Verdugo, Walker Buehler, Kenley Jansen. So, I mean, there are still a ton of pieces here. If this isn't the year, the big question is, how do you make this the year? The problem they're going to run into, and that they are running into, is I think the Arizona Diamondbacks are the best regular season team in the National League. I mean that in the sense that, you know, I don't know how it's going to translate to a 7 or 5 game series in the playoffs, but they have the depth to play well through injury, which they're doing. They have the type of team that is going to play hard every game. They're not going to, even through underperformance, you know, somebody's always kind of picking them up, but they have the depth, they have the overall talent, they have the manager to manage these situations that I think they're the best regular season team in the National League, at least getting a month head start look at it, where they're 20-8. So the Dodgers might be fighting for a wild card spot. How does that change what they should do? If you're going to have to give up 3 of your top 5 prospects and go over that luxury tax, is that worth it for a couple months of Manny Machado and you play in a wild card game? Could be. All you have to do is get there and you have a chance, especially if you have a team like the Dodgers. What are some of the other options out there? Well, if you move Chris Taylor to short, maybe you go get a guy like, you know, is John Jay an upgrade in the outfield? Is Adam Jones an upgrade in the outfield? I don't know. Do you pair an Adam Jones with a Zach Britton, a Manny Machado with a Zach Britton to help your bullpen out? That's worth discussing and thinking about. If you want to leave Chris Taylor in center field and bring in an infielder, 2 names I saw thrown out, a Jose Iglesias, a Danny Hechevarria. I think Bill Plaschke mentioned those guys. He said, you know, he in his column for the LA Times mentioned he doesn't expect him to get Machado, and that's okay. That Hechevarria, Jose Iglesias are glove first guys, but they could fit. Do you go get a Jonathan Villar from Milwaukee, who Milwaukee has tried to trade in the past? He's a guy that can play multiple positions too. Do you call up, you know, Alex Anthopoulos in Atlanta and try for a guy like Johan Camargo, who Braves fans I think want to see what he looks like over a full season, but with Austin Riley coming, with Ryan Flaherty playing well right now, with Jose Bautista in the minor leagues waiting to come up and play third base, maybe there's somebody that Anthopoulos likes in the Dodgers organization that he can use a player like Camargo to get. If he feels like Camargo is a depth piece, he can play infield for the Dodgers. You have team control over him for a while. So there's a lot of different ways to go, and I'm not sure that there's necessarily an easy answer. I don't think Manny Machado is the slam dunk answer that everybody assumes it to be. And I don't know the business side well enough to say whether or not it makes sense or is smart to reset the luxury tax number if you're the Dodgers. But I do know that it's going to be awfully hard to explain the strategy to fans if the Dodgers waste a championship window because they wanted to save what is already a profit. When you're worth billions, you have the money, you have a championship window. Clayton Kershaw could leave if he wants to. It's going to be tough to explain why you let a season go just so you could stay under that tax number. All right, final segment. Let's look at some of these odds. This is courtesy of Bovada. Let's start with the World Series. The Astros are the favorite to win the World Series at 5-1. They were the 17-4 coming in on March 28th, May 1st. They're 5-1. Those odds have gotten a little worse for the Astros. You look at two teams in the Boston Red Sox, Arizona Diamondbacks. Both of their odds improved. Boston went from 12-1 to 13-2. Diamondbacks 30-1 to 17-2. The Yankees got worse at 9-1. The Indians 19-2. Mets improved 10-1. The Cubs are 11-1. Dodgers 12-1 after they opened at 5-1. The Angels up to 14-1 from 25-1. Nationals 16-1 to 9-1. Man, I like that Nationals line. If I was looking at this, I would look at the Nationals and say, you know, Daniel Murphy gets back, Anthony Rendon comes back, you get healthy, you get into a playoff series, and I know we talk about this every year and the Nationals don't win, but Strasburg, Scherzer at the top with that lineup, you still have a chance against anybody. 16-1, those look like pretty good odds. I don't know that the Mets are going to stay up there all year. I don't know that I'm worried about any other team taking the national spot in the wild card once everybody gets healthy, so 16-1 looks pretty good. Cardinals stay the same at 20-1, Brewers 25, Blue Jays 25, Rockies 30, Giants 30, Twins 35, Phillies up to 35-1 from 75-1, the Pirates up to 50-1 from 150-1, and then the Braves are another big mover. They're 70-1 after 175-1. The Orioles, Reds, Royals, Marlins, your worst odds at 750-1. AL pennant, the Red Sox improved, the Angels improved, the Blue Jays improved, and the Tigers improved. Everybody else got worse. Let's take a look at the NL pennant. The D-backs and Mets both 9-2. Cubs and Dodgers 6-1. Brewers 12-1. Let's see some other notables. The Phillies 15-1. The Braves 30-1. Marlins actually have better odds than the Reds. The Reds are the worst odds at 300-1. Let's see. Yankees even money to win the AL East. AL West. Angels 15-4. Mariners 11-2. A's 25-1. Astros still your favorite at 4-15. And then the Dodgers 2-1 to win the division after opening up 4-7. So if you feel like they're going to bounce back and they're going to be on top, like Dave Roberts believes, 2-1 is probably as good as a number as you'll get. AL MVP, Mike Trout, the favorite at 5-6. Mookie Betts, 7-1. Didi Gregorius and Aaron Judge are both 8-1. Teammates Altuve and Correa, 10-1. Manny Machado, 12-1. Shohei Ohtani, 8-1. JD Martinez, 40-1. Mitch Haniger, 50-1. Aaron Judge at 8-1. Didi at 8-1. Those look okay. Probably go, you know, Didi has the shock value, and I think that does hold value, but I don't know that anybody's going to win besides Mike Trout, so unless he gets hurt. Might look at one of those Yankees as an option if you're going to look for a non-Trout pick there. Bryce Harper, the favorite in the National League at 9-5, followed by Chris Bryant at 9-4. Nolan Arenado, 12-1. Cody Bellinger and Rhys Hoskins, both 15-1. Charlie Blackman, 16-1. Freddie Freeman and Paul Goldschmidt, 8-1. I'd probably look at those two. I know Goldschmidt's off to a slow start, but if he gets it going and the D-backs stay as good as they are, I think this could be Goldschmidt's year potentially, depending on if Harper keeps doing what he does or is doing. He looks like the runaway so far, but Goldschmidt, I've said it before, I think would have won the MVP if it wasn't for his poor September last year. So got off to a slow start this year. If he has a big finish in his usual numbers, 18-1 looks like a good number there. Joey Votto, 20-1. Kershaw, 30-1. AJ Pollock, 30-1. Javier Baez, 50-1. AL Cy Young. Kluber and Sale at the top at 3-1. Garrett Cole, I think, is going to see a lot of action at 9-2. Luis Severino, 7-1. Sean Manaea, 12-1, along with Carlos Carrasco. Trevor Bauer, 31. I think Trevor Bauer looks really good. That'd be a good number. Charlie Morton, 30-1. Otani, 30-1. And Jose Barrios, 33-1. I would look at Trevor Bauer there and probably Garrett Cole. Those are the two that I like listed there. And finally, NL Cy Young. Max Scherzer, 8-5. Clayton Kershaw, 13-5. Noah Syndergaard, 13-2. Both Jacob deGrom and Carlos Martinez, 17-2. Patrick Corbin, 15-1. Cueto, 16-1. Strasburg, 20-1. Aaron Nola, Jake Arrieta, 25-1, 30-1, respectively. So I don't know that I like anyone there. I look at the Cy Young and probably one of those first basemen in the National League for MVP. But I was like looking at those to give you a landscape of the gambling market there and see what Vegas thinks of these and where there might be some value. But I don't know that there's value in the Dodgers at 2-1. I think the Diamondbacks have this not necessarily wrapped up, but they look to me like the best team in the National League. So the Dodgers have an interesting path forward, and we should find out soon, because I don't know that they can afford to wait. If they're going to make a big move, or any move, they have to make one soon. Otherwise, they run the risk of falling either further behind, and I think at some point they have to send a message. They have to walk that line of sending the message of, hey, we believe in our guys, but also we believe in our guys and want to add to them. So that's the challenge that the Dodgers have now, as we talked in segment one. But that'll do it for us today on Locked On MLB for May 1st. You can find us on iTunes, Google Play, and Spotify. And for everything that we're doing, check out LockedOnMLB.com.